We're going to talk today about a subject that's really dear to my heart. The reason is that it has helped me to understand why God had to go through so much to allow us to be born again. What an incredible miracle it was for you and for I to be born into the family of God. We are born the first time to the family of Adam, but the second time we're born again, born into the family of God. What a miracle it was. What an effort God had to make just because he wanted you into his family. The heavens and angels and God rejoice every time someone is born again. And the moment you were saved and you asked Jesus into your heart, they celebrated and they're still celebrating that you'll be with God for eternity. And we should celebrate that too. If you ever question, does God love me? This might help answer that yes, he does. He loves you so much. The effort that he made, the depths that he had to go, just so that we could be saved and rescued from hell and born into his family. What a beautiful love God has for us. Amazing love. Amazing love. As we start, we're going to start in Romans chapter 5. And as we start in a few scripture, what helped me to understand why it took God so long? I had a question years ago, and it was answered through some teaching. Why did you not just forgive Adam? When Adam sinned, why did you not just forgive him? The way the Lord taught me through teaching was that God did forgive him. Adam repented and God forgave him. But it wasn't as simple as just forgiving him. Now, Adam, who was created perfect, is now sinned. His nature had turned from light to dark, from righteous to sinful. And now Adam had a nature of sin, and God had to restore and had to fix things that Adam messed before man could be born out of that. So it's an amazing miracle. And so when we read here in verse 12 of Romans 5, we're just going to look at a few verses here. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So, from one man, sin spread like a disease through every man. Every human has been affected by the sin of one man. It's an amazing thing that happened. So, why did that happen? Well, when you understand what we're going to talk about today, it makes sense that God's creation began with Adam. And we're going to go all the way back to Genesis. And we're going to look at God's creation of man. God's creation began with one man. Oh, let's look in chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man. This is his most prized possession. The reason he created man, there's many reasons, I'm sure, but one of it is for fellowship, to have a person that is independent, that has a free will, that you can walk with and talk with and fellowship with, and to see them thrive and celebrate and enjoy the creation. We know that God created a garden in this earth for Adam. It says so in chapter 2, verse 8 of Genesis. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So we see that he created a garden within the earth. The earth was hard, rocky, but God upon the earth created a beautiful garden. And that garden he placed man that he formed and told him to have dominion over that garden. Let's look at verse 7 of chapter 2. This is where he formed man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. this is where God took Adam. So far, he's only created Adam. He took Adam, his creation, and he breathed life into him. This isn't oxygen. Adam was lifeless. God breathed his soul into him, breathed his life into him. God made life that never existed before in Adam. Amazing. Amazing thing. It wasn't oxygen, because we know that God doesn't need oxygen to live. So this is a breath of life. That means that from Adam, the beautiful creation that God did, God created Adam in his very image. He created Adam perfect. Adam was as perfect as God is perfect. Adam was as holy as God was holy. He was made in the image of God. He wasn't God. He wasn't divine. But he was perfect and holy and righteous. Adam looked God straight in the eye and didn't feel inferior. He didn't feel less than. He didn't feel unworthy. He felt as a child. He was a child of God, created in the image of God. And God's plan, his design, was for man to reproduce and to make more people. Let's look at that here in chapter 3. And just stay with me, because when I'm done prayerfully, you'll have the same truth of why God had to do so much, go through so many things into such depth, just to get us the opportunity to be born again. And it'll help explain how sin spread throughout the whole planet from one man. I'm in Genesis 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast in the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "It is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And this is where God created woman, but Eve came out of Adam. And so the big thing, the little thing and the big thing that I understood, that I learned, that has helped me to understand more about why God had to go through so much, was that Adam was a seed for the human race. It says that God put him in the garden, and in the garden was every fruit, every vegetable, every tree that is alive today was in that garden. Also, man came from that garden. Adam was the creation of God, perfect and beautiful in the image of God. And God's plan, design, was to take Eve out of Adam. Even Eve came from Adam. We now understand a little bit about DNA, but you know, for generations, no one understood how that operated. But God had to take the DNA out of Adam's rib, and took his rib, and that's where Eve was formed. Eve came from Adam. The whole human race has come from one man, and because of Adam and Eve. He told Adam and Eve, "I want you to populate the whole earth, to bring me more people." Adam and Eve were perfect. They came from God, who was perfect. And God's plan, his design, was for man to reproduce other men and other women, and for Adam and Eve to reproduce and populate the whole earth. So the whole earth was full of beings that were perfect and righteous, and that God could walk and talk with each of them. I'd be walking down the street talking to God, having fellowship with God, and I look over and there you would be walking down the street talking to God, having fellowship with God. God wanted to fellowship with each of us. A beautiful thing. God gave man the power to reproduce, to create life. And that life was supposed to be perfect, without sin, sickness, disease, death. Man was never supposed to see hell. We were never supposed to be sick. We were never supposed to die. We were supposed to live forever in perfect harmony together. But Adam messed it up when he sinned. And when he sinned, that's what caused the damage. The sin in Adam was his nature. It caused his nature to turn to darkness, now the seed for the entire human race, the seed for the whole human race, was now dark. Instead of it being light and reproducing children of life and likeness of God, now Adam was reproducing children with Eve and passing down the nature of darkness. And that's why we read in Romans chapter 5. We'll go back there. That's why we read in Romans chapter 5 how from one man sin spread to the whole world. See, you were born by the will of man. Your parents got together and decided to create you. I have two children, Harrison and Ava. My wife and I, we have created, brought into existence two children, two beings who will live forever, for eternity. We brought them into existence. We made the decision to make them. By our will, we made them, and they are now alive, and they'll live for eternity. And they're both born again, praise God, and so they will spend eternity in heaven. Hallelujah to that. So Adam, when he sinned, I want you to think of a seed. Adam was the seed for the whole human race. Even Eve came from Adam. And because he sinned, that means the only thing that seed could reproduce was a broken human race that was now a replicate of that nature, a passed down of that nature. When you take a bite of an orange today, when you eat your orange, do you understand you can take a seed from that orange and plant it in the ground and it will produce a tree? Well, technically, if I wanted to, if I was Sherlock Holmes, if I was willing to put the effort in, what I could do with God's help is I could take that orange that you ate and I can trace it back down to the tree that it came from, whatever place it came from. And I could take that fruit, that orange, and find the tree that it came from. Then if I went back in time and that tree shrunk, I could find that that tree came from a seed. Now, if I took that seed and went back a little bit in time, I could find the orange that it came from. Now, I could take that orange and find the tree that it came from. And if I was a really good detective and I kept going back, and I could trace back generation after generation from seed to orange to tree, seed, orange, tree, generation after generation, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God created one orange tree and gave it the power to reproduce more oranges. That's called the law of Genesis. That from this garden that God put on the earth, it was to spread and cover the whole earth with beauty and perfection and fruit. But when Adam sinned, when the devil came and tempted Adam and deceived Eve, and they sinned, that meant that the seed for the entire human race. See, my daughter, I love my daughter, Ava, but people come up to her all the time and say, "You look just like your daddy." And I feel sorry for her. But she's a beautiful girl, very beautiful. And I tell her, just tell anyone who says that you look like your daddy, just say, "I just got his prettiest parts." And but she looks at, you can tell she's my daughter, just like I look like my mom. You can tell that I look like my mom. I belong to her. In fact, one time she was at a friend's and they looked at me and they looked at my mom and they said, "You know what? As long as that boy's alive, you'll be alive." And what they meant was, "You'll never die because that boy looks just like you." Well, now she's got a granddaughter that looks like her and I look like her. And so we got our mom's nose, you got your daddy's lips, you got your mom's hips, you got your daddy's calves. You also receive from your parents, from not just those things, but the only thing that Adam could pass down was a nature of sin. See, we were born into a species called the human race that was dark already. You were born into death with a nature of death. I saw a train one time, a vision of a train, and the train had on it said human race. And the track that the train was on was going, and then it fell into hell. And the Lord told me that there are generations of people born within this train. The train was locked, padlock on the doors, and and the windows, they had bars. And inside the train was people being born into the human race, but they were born to die and go to hell. Now, we do believe, you know, from Scripture, as best we can, we do believe that children, babies, infants that die before they come to an age of accountability, that they are brought into heaven, that because they don't have accountability, that when children die, when they're babies and infants and a famine or different things, that they do go to heaven. I just want to add that. But the entire human race is born with the nature of darkness. And that nature of darkness is what's sending them to hell. When someone gets mad at God for sending them to hell, I tell them to stop. Don't get mad at God. He's not the one who sent you to hell. Adam's the one who sent you to hell because you were born with the nature of darkness. That's why we must be born again. What God did was he brought Jesus into this earth within the human race. This is some of the reasons why he had to be born into the human race. He brought Jesus into this earth within the human race through Mary. And because he was born within the human race, he was able to die and be the final Adam, take the place where the first Adam failed. The final Adam, Jesus, didn't fail. And everything the first Adam brought into this earth, the final Adam, Jesus is able to take within himself and bury it in hell. So Jesus was born on the train, the human race, and then he opened the door for us to go out of the human race into a new family called the children of God. Jesus created a whole new family, a new species called the children of God. A whole new family, a different species, different than the human race. And then he came back and said, I'm the door, come through me. And he offered us an opportunity to be born out of the family of Adam, to be born again. Who gets the chance to be born a second time, to be born into a different species? And this is why we have to transform, because we are now a different species than the human race. We're no longer human, technically. I don't know if you want to tell too many people that. They may think you're a little weird. But we're not born again into the human family. We're born again into God's family, with him being our Father. One service I had, there was a boy who came up for salvation. It was a beautiful service, a beautiful moment. And he was telling me how he had been abused by his father. He had been in horrible ways. And he was raised in just the worst experience, man, you can imagine for a young man. And he had brokenness towards his father. And I was so pleased to be able to tell him, listen, you're about to be born again. That man who abused you, abandoned you, hurt you, took advantage of you, destroyed you, he's no longer your father. You no longer belong to him. You're now born of God. The moment you say and ask Jesus into your heart, God becomes your father. Old things are passed away. My son Harrison's born again. My daughter Ava's born again. Before they were saved, when they were children, they were my children. They're of the Taylor family. But the moment they accepted Christ, technically, they're no longer my children. They belong to God. They're of the family of God. God is their father. I technically am Harrison's brother, with both of us having God as our father. Now, we won't tell Harrison that, or Ava, until they're 18. Otherwise, Harrison will use that against me and say, well, God, my father told me differently. And so I don't want to have to get into any fights like that. So Adam sinned. Let's read verse 12 again. Therefore, just as though through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So death spread because Adam was the seed. And because Adam was the seed that reproduced, and all men came from Adam. We can trace you and I. We can trace you to your, just like that orange, we can trace you from your birth to your parents, and go back to their parents, and go back to their parents. And you know, we can go all the way back, and we will end up going through the family of Noah and all the way up back to Adam. I can trace your heritage in the natural man all the way back to Adam. But according to your spiritual man that came alive when you were born again, Because when you ask Jesus in your heart, it wasn't a little Jesus. I used to think I have a little Jesus running around inside of me. I ask Jesus in my heart, and I have a little Jesus running around, and there's a kitchen in there and a living room, and I have Jesus in my heart. But it wasn't a little Jesus. It was his nature. And see, just like sin was passed down from your birth, from your family, it's the only thing they could give you. There was life in that seed, but the seed was death. We are born into a dark race, a dark family, a family of death called the human race. The people that are born again, you're not going from life to a different life. You're already dead from God. You're already distant from God. You're not of the same nature. When Adam repented to God and said, "Forgive me," see, now Adam was a different species. See, when Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. So Adam and God were similar, like a father and a son. They were of the same image. Adam was perfect. But when Adam sinned, his nature changed from light to dark. Now God was talking to a different species, a different race, not of who he created. And that's why he had to deal with the Old Testament people the way he did, because they were not born again. In fact, even through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the disciples, before they were born, had a chance to be born again. No one was born again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because Jesus had not died yet and been resurrected. Only in the end of the Gospels can you find any glimpse that someone might be born again because Jesus had died and been resurrected. So the whole human race was dark because they had a nature of darkness that they inherited from their family. Because that's all you can get. If I plant an orange from my orange that I eat today, I take a seed out of that orange and I plant it and I water it and I take care of it and I fertilize it, I will get an orange tree. It's impossible for me from an orange seed to get an apple tree or a different kind of tree. I can only get the type of fruit, the type of tree from the seed, because in that seed is the image of the creation of that seed. Well, that's what happened with Adam. Adam was the one seed that the entire human race came from. Your natural man came from Adam through your family. But the day you were born again, that you asked Jesus into your heart, you were born again into a different family, the family of God. Praise Lord, the Lord God is now your father. You have someone who loves you, who believes in you, who will never give up on you. For every moment of every day, he thinks about you. He wants to be in your life. He's for you, not against you. You have a father who loves you. You're not just a servant to God. You are a child of God. You're born again. The miracle of salvation is so incredible that we are actually given the opportunity to be born out of a family of death and into a family of life. What an amazing, amazing miracle salvation is. In Romans 5, we'll keep reading. Let's just go down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So one man, Adam, brought death to the entire human race, and God sent one man, Jesus, the final Adam, to bring life back to everyone who will receive. Therefore, verse 18, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So Adam brought death to the entire human race. I've never met Adam, but he brought death to my life because I was born into death. But Jesus brought life. Jesus brought life through his righteousness, through his obedience, to counterbalance Adam's disobedience. Jesus' righteous acts counterbalance Adam's disobedience. God sent his son to rescue us, because Adam let the devil talk him into destroying God's creation. And God purchased us back. God didn't fight the devil. He purchased us back. Adam legally gave this earth to the devil. Jesus legally purchased everything back by his blood. So when I go to the doctor for a checkup, and he says, fill out this form, you know, those long forms, and you fill it out, and it says your name, it's Alan Taylor. And then it says, information, tell us about your family. It wants to know my history, but then it wants to know my family history. Well, why? Why does it want to know about my mom, my dad, my grandpa, and the relatives I know of? It wants to know if they had heart problems, if they had lung problems, if they had kidney problems, liver problems. Because those are the things that are passed down from family to family. So when I check off the box in the Taylor family paperwork, and it says, has anyone in your family ever had? And it says diabetes, I check, yes. And cancer, yeah. Heart disease, yeah. Lung disease, well, yeah. How about liver, yeah. Kidney, mm-hmm. And it names all these horrible diseases. And as I'm checking them off, I'm finding so many things that, yeah, that's in my, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in fact, I have more boxes or that are checked than unchecked. And sometimes you want to go, excuse me, doctor, you forgot a few things. My uncle so-and-so had this and so-and-so. And then it says, you know, after that, it goes into the emotional things. Has anyone in your family had drug abuse? Mm-hmm. Alcohol abuse? Mm-hmm. Mental issues? I won't claim any of that. But you go, you make your list, and you find out my Taylor family, the clan of Taylors that came from the family of Adam, is pretty messed up. We got lots of problems within our family history. That's families, and I guarantee that your family has a pretty checkered past too. And so here you have the Taylor family. This is the Taylor clan. And I have a list of a lot of check marks of all the things in my history. But because of this verse, because Jesus came and brought righteousness to me, the opportunity for me to leave the family of Adam, to get out of that train that was destined for hell, and to leave that train, Jesus went and created a whole new family that never existed before, a new species called the children of God, then opened the door for me to be born through him into the family of God. Meaning that the nature that I received from the seed of Adam now was taken out. And I received a new nature from Christ, the new seed. Christ is now the seed that I am from. Now, I'm still wearing the body that came from Adam, but the real me, I come from Christ. So now when I go, if I go to the doctor for a checkup, I can say, I would like a new sheet, please. And then it says, name. Well, I don't know my name that God's going to give me, because I believe he's going to give me a new name when I get to heaven. But it's me, the last name is not Taylor, it is Child of God. That's me now, because that's the seed that I belong to, that's the seed that I come from. I don't come from the seed of Adam anymore, I come from the seed of Christ. He is the final Adam. He is who I am born through. I was born the first time of the family of Adam, but the second time I'm born of the family of God through Christ. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. And in this, that tells me I have a right to receive all the promises of God, not because I'm worth it, not because I'm smart or I'm faithful, but because Jesus purchased it for me. It's part of my family inheritance. I am actually born of God. I am a child of God. I belong to the family of God because the seed that I come from is Christ now. No longer am I born of Adam. That is the human race, and I am no longer of the human race. I'm of the species called the children of God. And because through the obedience of Christ, many will be made righteous. That's what happened when you were born again. God made you righteous. That's why we run into holiness and run away from sin and run away from the natural man's tendencies, because it's no longer who we are. We're going to shed this natural man, and this natural body will be replaced with a new eternal body. But until that day, we need to quit listening to it and listen to the inner man, the true person that we are. Because that person who we are really is born again and is part of Christ. Your new nature never authorizes sin. It only speaks life and righteousness, because that's the nature you come from. So when I go through this new list from the doctor and it asks for all my, has anyone in your family ever had this disease? No, 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 no. See, Jesus would be the only one who took everything on the cross. There on the cross, the final Adam, Jesus walked these years, 33 years on this earth in perfection, never sinned. On that cross, he laid his life down as the Lamb of God, and his blood was shed. It says that he went to hell. And see, what the first Adam did, he became sin so I could become righteous. Jesus, the final Adam, he became sin that I can become righteous. He went to that place in Adam. And what that means is that on the cross, Jesus, the perfect Lamb. See, in the Old Testament, they have symbolism. You take a lamb and you lay your hands on it. It's called a scapegoat. And you lay your hands on it and you release it. And all the sins of the camp will go on that goat. And you take the lamb, you lay your hands on the lamb, and they would sacrifice it. Well, that's what Jesus became on the cross for us, is he became the Lamb of God, the scapegoat for our past, for our sins, for the human race, for Adam's sin, for Adam's disobedience. The price was Christ's obedience to death. So on that cross, Jesus became the ugliest man you've ever met. He became like a sinner. He became a prostitute. He became like the dad that abused his son. Jesus became like all those things. Every ugly thing, every ugly disease, everything the first Adam introduced into this world by his disobedience. The final Adam, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took into himself on that cross all of those things. He took into himself. And what did he do? He died and went to hell. And then he left all those things there, conquered them, and was resurrected and went to heaven. And birthed from him, the firstborn of many brethren, he birthed from that action, from his obedience, he birthed a new family, the children of God, which you are born into. That's the seed that you come from. If I traced your history, it would stop, and the history stops at Jesus. That's where you came from, the resurrected Jesus. So in our family, I have no one in my family that has had those things. Jesus did before he died. He had all those things. But after he was resurrected perfect. And because of that, you and I have a right now to receive all that we need. Holiness, we can receive healing, our finances, our needs being met, all because of Jesus. He paid the price. He made the way for us to be born into the family of God. Jesus made a way. I love to say it. Jesus made a way for his father to become my father. Jesus is the path that we took for you to be born into the family of God. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And when you ask Jesus into your heart, you became righteous, because you receive that new nature of God into your life, and you are now part of the breath of Christ. See, you were born, you came into existence from that breath that God breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam, and life came into Adam. And from that breath is where all man came from. All of us come from that one power that God breathed into Adam. That's where you came into existence. That's where you first came into as a person. But then God had to find a way to help you, to restore the mess that Adam made. And through Jesus, he made a way for you to be born again. And who's more amazing than God to find a way to get us to have a new family, to born into a new family without making you disappear. It wasn't that you disappeared in this process, but God, in some amazing miracle, I think it took as much creative ability or more to make all this happen than it did to create the whole universe, was to make a legal path for you to be born into the family of God. It wasn't illegal. Adam legally opened the door for the devil to have rulership over this earth and over the human race. God, through Christ, legally made a way for us to be born into the family of God, where the devil can't stop us. The devil can't stop you from being born into the family of God, and he can't stop your family either. You're praying for someone to be born again, a friend or a loved one. You keep praying. The devil can't stop them from getting born again. Sometimes people wonder, well, why? What about a good person in another country? See, they're born of the family of Adam. They still need Jesus. So good people who aren't born again still need Jesus. Now, I believe that there are people in other countries who they don't preach Jesus, in other countries where other religions are taught. But I know people who hungered for truth. One dear friend of mine, his father was a different religion and never heard of Christ. It wasn't in their culture. And he one day cried out for truth. He said, God, I want truth. I think he cried out to God, but he didn't know any terminology. He just cried out for, I want to know the truth. And he had a vision of Jesus showed up in a dream in his bedroom. And he got saved from, witnessed to by Jesus. God will send angels. He'll send visions and dreams to anyone, anywhere in the corners of the earth who hunger for truth. They will find the right path to God through Jesus. But Jesus is the only path to salvation. And this idea, the small image of a seed, the small truth helps you understand why people must be born again. It's not just a God wants you to bow your knee, humble yourself. God wants you to submit to his amazing power, so you must accept Jesus. It's a legal term that you're born of the family of Adam. You're born with darkness as your nature, death as your nature. You need to be born into the family of God. When we go to heaven and stand at the pearly gates, as they say, it's not going to be a question of, tell me your sins. Good. Now tell me your good things. And if you have more good things, great. If you have more good things, you get to go to heaven. Heaven is not about how good you are, how bad you are. Heaven really is down to one question and one question alone. Do you have the nature of Christ in you? Are you born again? See, this is why it's not how many good works you have. I have people all the time ask me, well, what about this person? Because they're really good. They help people. They're nice. They have a good family. Yeah, but they have to be born again. Well, why is God so mean? Why can't he just accept people who are nice? What? Because it's not that he wants to reject anyone, but there's only one path to salvation, and that's through Jesus. You must be born out of the family of Adam. You got to get that seed of Adam, the nature that came from that seed of Adam, the nature you were born with the first time was like a seed that came from the DNA of Adam. But when you accepted Jesus, that old nature was taken out and God replaced it with a new nature called the nature of Christ. And so when you're born again, you trade families. You're born of a different breed. You're a different creature. The inner man is alive and full of light and life because your nature is righteous that you received from Christ. That's why you're an heir to the kingdom of God. That's why you inherit all your blessings from God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We receive it because we are born again into the family of God. Verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, so even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus had to come. He had to come and become the final Adam. He had to take the same path the first Adam did and have victory. The first Adam failed. The final Adam didn't fail. And then he had to die on the cross as the Lamb of God. And then as the Lamb of God, he inherited, he took in everything the first Adam brought into this earth, every bit of destruction, brokenness, every bit of sin, sickness, disease that the first Adam's act of disobedience brought into this earth. This creation was supposed to be perfect. Man was supposed to be perfect. That was God's plan. The first man's, Adam's, sin introduced all this sickness, disease, horror, anger, jealousies. All these things came in through the first man's disobedience, the final Adam's obedience. He took all of that, all the power of those things, and took it to hell with him. He conquered death. He conquered it all. That is why we have a right to receive, to believe for God. Whatever you're believing for, you have a right to receive it. You have a right to stand for it and confess it and hold on to it. Not because you're worthy, not because you did something good or you gave something or you're faithful, but because Jesus was faithful. Jesus was the one who paid the price. Jesus has already conquered death and hell. Jesus conquered sickness and disease. Jesus conquered poverty. All so that we can receive it, not because we're worth it, but because he was worth it. In his eyes, we were worth it. But in our eyes, we don't have to earn it. We are to receive it like children. Children receive an inheritance. They don't earn an inheritance. Verse 20, more of the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So the law came in the Old Testament to prove to man they were sinners, and they needed a Savior, and then God sent them a Savior, and by that grace, it abounds so much more. There's nothing, there's no limitations on you anymore. If you look at your life and you start to calculate your life from your past, you look at your family, your history, you know, your mama had this, you're going to have this. Your daddy had this, you're going to have this. I've heard that my whole life, that your family has this disease and this sickness, you're going to have it too. I don't have to receive that because technically, honestly, my family started with Jesus and ends with Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. That's my family. And in him, I'm victorious. So I don't have to receive those things. You hear things about a curse. There's a curse, a family curse. And you got to break that family curse. Well, I don't belong to that family anymore. I was born out of that family. So there's no family curse in my life because Jesus became the curse on the tree. I don't have to receive a curse. I don't need anyone to pray over me to break a curse. I believe every curse was broken and stopped the moment I was saved because I am now born of God. That's my family. I am a child of God. I belong to the family of God, and I have a right to receive all those things. So if the devil's taking the fight out of you, if you're believing for a miracle, believing for something in your life, believing for a change in your future, and the devil has discouraged you, taken the life out of the fight out of you by saying, you deserve this. This is your family. Your family failed. They pass it on to you. Your family has this. You're going to get this. You need to take courage that I'm no longer of the seed of that family. I'm of the seed of Christ. And the reason I fight and believe and hold on to the promises of God and won't let them go no matter what is because I'm born of God. I'm of the seed of Christ. I have his nature in me. So I have a right to receive the promises of God based on what Jesus did. My family is the family of God. My Father is my Heavenly Father. You're part of my family. We're part of that family. And we can receive all the blessings of God. We don't have to stop. We don't have to give up. We don't have to fail. I know sometimes in life it can be discouraging because we're in a fallen world. We're still wearing a fallen body. But we don't give up because you're made of good stock. You're made of a stock of victors, a family of victory, a family of conquerors. You're more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I had an old preacher, and I preach this all the time. It's one of my favorite sayings. He was telling me how I gave him his offering. And he smiled and said, yeah, thank you. And he said, I'm a conqueror. He looked at his wife and gave her the check. And she said, I'm more than a conqueror. I think about a man who works hard all week long, gets his hands dirty, and he works hard. And he comes home with his paycheck, and he's conquered. He's worked hard, and He says, "Honey, I got my paycheck. I'm a conqueror." And she squeezes his muscles and said, "Oh, my man, you're such a strong man. You're a conqueror." And then she takes his paycheck and says, "I am more than a conqueror." See, the Bible doesn't call you a conqueror. It calls you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He conquered sin. He conquered disease. He conquered sickness. He conquered poverty. He conquered brokenness, anger, jealousy. He conquered depression. He conquered all those things. And we are born of him. We're more than conquerors. And because we are of his seed, we're of his family, we're an heir of those things. We're an inheritance of the victory already. So when I pray, I'm not trying to get God to give me anything. I'm not trying to talk him into anything. I'm simply receiving what Jesus has already conquered. I am more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Whatever you're believing for in your future, in your life, don't base it on your family, your past, your history, your culture, your country. We base it on one thing. Jesus is the seed of my life. I received his righteousness so I can be righteous. I received that righteousness so I can be holy. I don't have to continue on what my family brought into this world and carried on. I don't have to continue on what my natural family has had. I am now a child of God, born a child of God, and God is my Father. And so I will walk that path, and I'll receive those blessings and those promises. And I have a right to deny anything that my family history tries to bring into my life. I don't give it power. I don't have to. It has no right in my life because Jesus conquered those things for me. I am an heir of the kingdom of God because the seed of righteousness, that nature, was given to me the moment I asked Jesus into my heart. That's what I received, his righteousness, his nature. I am now a child of God. In the same way God created Adam and desired to walk and talk and fellowship with Adam, he wanted to do that for every child that was born. Well, you're now a child born again. God wants to talk to you, walk with you, fellowship with you freely. You can look God face to face. You can look in God's eyes, and you shouldn't feel fear or inferior. You shouldn't feel abandoned or sad. You should feel proud that you're his child. God doesn't look down on you. He wants to fellowship with you. You're not divine. We're not divine. But we are made of his righteousness because we're born again. Fellowship with God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Believe for the miracles. Believe in the promises and don't let go of them. No matter what the devil says, what life says, what your history says, don't let go of the promises that Jesus brought into this world by his obedience. Because now they belong to you and to me because we're heirs of the kingdom of God. Adam came in as a seed. And the seed turned dark and death in his disobedience. And because of that, every human that was born by the law of Genesis through the human race came with the nature of darkness that Adam brought into this world. That's why we had to get born again. It's not that God chooses, I like you, I don't like you. It's the only ones allowed in heaven are those of the family of God that have the nature of God. That's why we must be born again. It's not a question of who's good, who's bad. This person's really good. They should go to heaven. The world, you hear many times, we're all children of God. No, we're not children of God. We're children of Adam until we become children of God. What makes you a child of God is that you're born again. Not that you go to church or that you're good or you believe this or believe that. You must accept Jesus as your Savior because that allows you to change families. You change the seed that you came from. You now have a nature of righteousness, and you're an heir to the kingdom of God. We are heirs to all the God promises of God. Let's keep believing it. Let's keep standing, and let's not quit because we're going to change the world. God bless you.